You have your scriptures with you this morning. I invite you to turn to Genesis 48. If you don't have them with you, there you should be able to find the passage. There should be sermon notes, an insert in your bulletin. We're in Genesis 48 this morning. We've been walking through the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. We have this week, and then actually just two more. To complete this series, a story of God's holy, wise, and powerful providence. I pray that you've been able to see the hand of God working in the lives of these individuals throughout their hardships and how God worked redemption through their family to bring redemption to us who believe. It's a great, great story. After Joseph's done, I'm thinking of walking through at least part of Revelation, if not all. For the book of Revelation is to be read to the people of God. The first chapter says it's a book of blessing. And so that's what we want to find within it as we look as our hearts before the Lord this morning. So keep that in prayer. We'll see how things go. I need to do a lot of study and see how the Lord leads. But we'll at least do at least part of it. We'll see if we can go through the whole thing. But that's what's coming up within a few weeks. I know Pastor Dennis Gill was here last week. I thank him for that. I pray that you were blessed. You preached through Ephesians 2, I believe, the idea I believe. And so I thank him for that. So 2 weeks ago, when I was here, we were in chapter 47. And just to give us a little review, we talked about this idea that we can live securely in this world in Christ, knowing that this is our Father's world, but the best is yet to come. We looked at three themes the last time I was here. We looked at the shepherding theme, the sojourner theme, and the savior theme as we look at the lives of Joseph and his brothers. If you remember, they're in Goshen. He told the brothers to tell Pharaoh that they're shepherds, and because the people of the land despised shepherds. But we see this theme being brought out in the scriptures that shepherds are important. They're great analogies for how our God walks with us. He's our shepherd, Psalm 23, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of his sheep that lays down his life. We saw the sojourner theme where when Pharaoh is interacting with Jacob, he asks Jacob, "How old are you?" And he says, "I'm 130 years old." That's not what he says. He says, "My years of sojourning have been 130 years." So he sees himself as a temporary dweller. He's telling Pharaoh, "Egypt's not my home. Canaan's not my home. I belong with my eternal God and will walk with him." And then last time we saw with a savior motif where Joseph himself, who delivers his brothers, delivers the people of the world at the time through the famine, we looked at all the parallels of how he was a picture and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we kind of reviewed 2 weeks ago. This morning we'll look at three more themes. You'll see in your sermon notes, they are the themes of God's blessing upon his people, God's adoption of his people, and God's election of his people. And as Jacob will talk to Joseph and his two sons, he will refer to God as El Shaddai. It's the Hebrew title for God Almighty, El Shaddai. That as Jacob reflects over the work of God in his life, over his providence in his life, Jacob can freely proclaim that God is God Almighty, El Shaddai. As we enter into chapter 48, Jacob is now 17 years older. He's 147 years. He's about to die, and he wants to give some final words of blessing to his family. In this chapter, Jacob will talk to Joseph and his sons. And then next week in chapter 49, he will talk to the rest of the family, to Joseph's brothers. These final words of Jacob are coming from his heart before he dies. Again, picture a 147-year-old man who's frail and just kind of getting his strength. And he's had time to reflect, to think upon his life, and to look back and what he'll say to his family. Some of us will have that opportunity. Some of us will go through a situation where we know we're about to die, and we'll have opportunity to share thoughts and wishes with our family. Other us, death will take us suddenly out of this world. But for us, even right now, I want you just to take time to look back and reflect over your past, by looking forward to the promises of God. Just take time to reflect God's hand of providence working over your many years of life. As you look back, what do you see? Do you see just pain? Do you see hardship? Or can you see more underneath and above it, a grand weaver bringing things together? Do you see within the years the hand of providence blessing you in ways that you would have never dreamt or imagined? Think forward. When it's time for you to die, what will be on your mind? Will it be regrets? Or will it be on God's faithfulness? There's a nurse who works in palliative care, and she started to jot down some of the regrets she would have as she cared for patients as they were preparing to die. Some people, as they were looking over their life, they would say, boy, I wish I hadn't worked so hard, so many years, so many hours, and spent more time with family or doing things for the church. I wish I had the courage to just be myself and express my feelings, to open up so people would really get to know me. I wish I had stayed in touch with some of my friends, with some of my family members. You see, when we look back over our lives, or when we get time to die and look back, it would be very easy to focus on our sins, our failures, and our regrets, for they are many. But as we sang, His mercy is more. Jacob focuses on the faithfulness of God in this chapter. Jacob was a man who certainly had his sins. Jacob was a man who certainly had his failures and regrets, but he will focus on the faithfulness of his God, God Almighty, El Shaddai. Augustine wrote, "We count on God's mercy for our past mistakes, we count on God's love for our present needs, and we will rely on God's sovereignty for our future." So our theme this morning, as you see in your sermon notes, is that as you look back over your life, even the days of hardship and evil like Jacob's, look for the providential hand of God Almighty. As you look back, may you recognize His gracious blessing, His welcoming adoption, and His humbling election. And may it give you peace. Let me pray, and we'll walk through this chapter this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that You would guide our hearts this morning as we look into this text to see how You worked in the life of Jacob, and as he reflects over the covenant blessing You put upon him and his family, that the Lord Jesus Christ would one day come through that family line to bring salvation to the world. Lord, I pray that You would help us. Lord, if people are like me, or our minds can easily not be at rest. We can be stuck in despair. We can be stuck in our failures as mothers or fathers or just as people. And Lord, You remind us to look to Your faithfulness. That yeah, we should confess our sins, that we should repent of our sins, but always look to God Almighty, who's over all these things and promises to bless His people forever. So Lord, help us to see these things in Your text this morning. Speak to us by Your Holy Spirit. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So if you have the text before you, we'll begin. We'll look at verses 1 through 4 to begin. It says, "After this, Joseph was told, 'Behold, your father is ill.' So he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And it was told, 'Jacob, your son Joseph has come to you.' Then Israel summoned his strength, sat up in bed, and Jacob said to Joseph, 'God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. He said to me, "Behold, I'll make you fruitful and multiply you. I'll make you a company of peoples and will give you this land to your offspring and after you for an everlasting possession.'" It says, "God Almighty appeared to me." So I just want to take some time with our first point is that God Almighty is the God of gracious blessing. As Jacob is close to dying, his thoughts are on the gracious condescension of God Almighty in his life. That God made himself known to this sinner. He recounts to Joseph how God showed up in his life and greatly blessed him and promised him a hope and a future. Jacob was a deceiver and he was fearful of his brother Esau during this time when God showed up in his life. And Jacob experienced the gracious blessing of God. He's kind of giving his testimony to Joseph. He recounts the promises that God gave him at Luz. And let me give you the details. It's from Genesis 28, verses 10 to 19. Hear this story, this vision of God invading Jacob. This is after he's deceived his brother for the birthright, for the blessing. He's running in fear for his life. And Jacob lays down. He says, he came to a certain place and stayed there that night. Because the sun had set, it's getting dark, it's time to sleep. He takes a stone, which I can't imagine, and he places it under his head for a pillow. I would never use a stone for a pillow, but he uses a stone. And as he sleeps, he has a dream. He says, behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of the ladder reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on this ladder. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth will be blessed. Behold, I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. I will keep you wherever you go and bring you back to this land. And Jacob woke up and said, how awesome is this place, for surely God was here. In the midst of his fear, in the midst of his sin of deception, God shows up to this sinful man and gives him the revelation that God desires to be with his people. This picture of this ladder where angels are ascending and descending and the Lord above it is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospels, Jesus says, You'll see on this ladder angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus says, I am that ladder. God gives this vision to Jacob, this sinful man who was a deceiver, afraid for his life. He gave him a hope. He gave him a future. He says, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply you into a great nation. And through you, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. Again, this is the gospel. One day the Lord Jesus Christ will come through his family. And I just want to talk about this idea of God just kind of coming down from heaven, if you will, and entering our lives. This gracious work of condescension. That if he would mark iniquities, we couldn't stand, but he comes, there's forgiveness with him, and he comes and invades our life and wants to walk with us for all our days and take us to his home to be with him. Through Christ, God showed up in this sinner's life and gave him a hope and gave him a future. See, as Jacob is about to die, he's not thinking about his sins. He's not thinking about his failures. He's not thinking about his regrets. He's not thinking of all the times that he lied and deceived. He's not thinking of his failures as a father, which were great. He wasn't thinking of all the hardships he went through when he thought his son Joseph was dead for all those years. Jacob was thinking of the great blessing of God Almighty who showed up in his life. As he looks over his life, and he calls God El Shaddai. In verse 15 in that text, listen to what else he says about his God. He says, he blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil. This is what he's thinking about. He's thinking about El Shaddai, God Almighty, God who's my shepherd through all the hardships that I went through, the angel who redeemed me from all evil. This is what he focuses on. This is what he finds rest in. This is where he finds his assurance. Not all the negative things. Yes, he will need time to confess and repent and all these things, but he will focus on the assurance and faithfulness and blessing of God. El Shaddai showed up in his life, and he never forgot it. Jacob experienced God Almighty in his life, and that's what he was focusing on. That's what he was holding on to. So as you reflect over your life, you need to hold on to El Shaddai, God Almighty, the one who knows us in the depths of our sins, the one who knows us in the depths of our sorrows, in the depths of our weaknesses, in the depths of our tragedies, and see him as God Almighty over it, promises to walk with you and shepherd you through it to the very end and to bless you through Christ. That vision of that ladder of being united with God forever through the Lord Jesus Christ is yours through faith. You focus on that as you near death. Has God Almighty invaded your life? Is there a moment, whether you were young or older, where you just became aware of the great need you had in your life, that I am without hope, the mountain of sin is too high, the moral debt is too much, but yet you saw a man bloodied on the cross, that the Lord Jesus would come to be the great shepherd of his people, to lay down his life for his people? Have you become awakened to that? Then you've been blessed. You have been blessed forever in Christ. God has invaded your life, and you rest on him. God Almighty is the God of gracious blessing. Let's continue through this text, starting at verse 5. As Jacob is talking to Joseph, it says, "And now your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh, they shall be mine, as Reuben and Simeon are. And the children that you fathered after them shall be yours. They shall be called by the name of their brothers and their inheritance. As for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was still some distance to go to Ephrath. And I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, 'Who are these?' Joseph said to his father, 'They are my sons, whom God has given me here.' He said, 'Bring them to me, please, that I may bless them.'" And so I want to just talk about our second point, that God Almighty is the God of welcoming adoption. Here in this text, we see the children of Joseph. They're the grandsons of Jacob. They're being adopted into the family line as sons. They're being adopted into the covenant blessing, not as grandsons, but as sons. Ephraim and Manasseh will not be seen as grandsons, but like sons like Reuben, Simeon, like Joseph, and Judah. The promises and the blessings of sons will belong to them. What makes this adoption even more unique and more special is that Ephraim and Manasseh, they're not pure Hebrews. Remember, they were born to an Egyptian mom. Joseph was married to an Egyptian, a Gentile. Ephraim and Manasseh, who are Gentiles, are being adopted in to the covenant blessing of God as sons. They're not outsiders. They're not second-class citizens of the kingdom of God. They are full heirs as sons. So we see here early on in Genesis, in the drama of redemption, in the formation of the nation of Israel itself, Gentiles, people of other ethnicities, are being included in the covenant blessing. This God is not just the God of the Jews, but of all peoples, one of the great truths of our God. People who come to faith, no matter their ethnicity, are seen as children of Abraham, children of the promise, full heirs, part of the full inheritance of God. You're just as much an heir as Abraham. Paul writes about this in Galatians 3. He says, know this, those of faith are the sons of Abraham. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you all the nations will be blessed." So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. We are counted as sons. We are just as important as any of the disciples, any of the apostles. We sit there with full inheritance. We belong to our God. As Paul writes in Romans 8, we did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You received the spirit of adoption as sons, whom we cry out, "Abba, Father." You're like a son. You're like a daughter that can say, "Abba." It's like saying, "Daddy." This God Almighty, you can cry out and say, "Daddy." You always have his ear. You always have his attention. You always have his care. You always have his love. That same love that God the Father had of Jesus when he said, "This is my Son, whom I am well pleased," he says of you who trust in him through Christ. I know it's hard to believe with all our failings, with all our mess-ups, but when we're in Christ, we're seen as holy, as beloved, as sons. We are counted as full heirs. As you reflect back on your life and see that God has invaded your life and made himself known to you and promised you salvation through Christ, yes, confess your sins, confess your needs, repent of things that ought not to be in your heart, but remember, you are an adopted son and daughter of the family of God through Christ. Just as God said of Jesus, "This is my Son," he says that to you. Dan Kruger says, to be loved by the Father through the Son and the Spirit is to be caught up into an everlasting, flowing, eternal love. Everlasting and eternal love. He calls you son. He calls you daughter. Think on that. Meditate on that truth. He continues, living as the church involves learning to live each day, knowing that God the Father delights in his adopted children, even as he delights in Jesus. That would help me when I'm fearful, when I'm anxious, when I'm unsure. This God invaded my life. He made me know Jesus. He says, "I call you son. I call you daughter," with an eternal, overflowing love for you. He wants you to know these things. He wants you to meditate on these things. He wants you to grow in these things. Focus on these truths. God Almighty blesses his people. He adopts his people. And lastly, he's the God of humbling election. We'll finish the chapter, verses 10 through 21, as we see these themes just being brought out. Again, they're brought out more and more through the rest of Revelation, but we're getting a taste of these truths. In verse 10, he says, "Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. So Joseph brought him near him and kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, 'I never expected to see your face. And behold, God has let me see your offspring also.'" Such a tender moment. Again, you have to kind of live it. Try to be in the moment. Jacob, who never thought he'd see Joseph again, now sees his grandchildren. "And Joseph removed them from his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. Joseph took them both in his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. He blessed Joseph and said, 'The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life, all my life long this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys. And in them let my name be carried on, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac. Let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth.' When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. He took his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said to his father, 'Not this way, my father. Since this one was the firstborn, put your right hand on his head.' But his father refused and said, I know, my son. I know. He also shall become a people and also shall be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother shall be greater than he. His offspring shall become a multitude of nations. So he's blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will pronounce blessings, saying, God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. Thus he put Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, behold, I'm about to die, but God will be with you and will bring you again to the land of your fathers. And moreover, I have given to you, rather than to your brothers, one mountain slope that I look from the land of the Amorites with my sword and with my bow. Again, this idea of this humbling election. We see this theme being fleshed out in Genesis and through the rest of Scripture, where Joseph is bringing the sons, and he has Manasseh, who's the older, and Ephraim, the younger, and he's trying to bring them to his father in such a way that Jacob's right hand can go on the oldest son, because that's normally who receives the blessing. Well, Jacob switches his hands. He crosses his hands, and he blesses the younger. It's God's work of election. It's God's work of choosing. It's mysterious, and it's humbling. We see it with Abraham. Abraham has Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael's the oldest, but the blessing is to go to Isaac. It wasn't to be, he wasn't to have sons through human means. That's why Abraham was older. It's supposed to be done through God alone. Then you have Esau and Jacob. Isaac has these two sons, and Esau's the older, but Jacob receives the blessing rather than the older. And here we see it again. The younger receives the blessing rather than the older. It's God's work of election. It's mysterious, it's humbling, and it's holy. God takes a clump of sinful humanity and has mercy on some and justice on others. Some will experience God's gracious love and gracious mercy. Others will experience their just due. His blessing, his election, is mysterious and humbling. From his predestination of where we will live, what time we would live, who our family would be, what country we'd live, all these things that we don't control, even down to our faith. His electing love is humbling. In Ephesians 1, Paul writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He predestined us for adoption through Christ, according to the purpose of his will. God is at work, doing his work of salvation. And some things are just humbling and mysterious. And one of those things is our salvation. You who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because God's electing love has invaded your heart. He knew you before the foundation of the world. He set his love upon you. And as Dennis preached last week, he caused you to be born again, to see it, to understand it, in order to believe. You who know Jesus, you who know you have forgiveness in Jesus, you who know that you have eternal life in Jesus, that's because of God's electing love on you. He wanted to bless you. He wanted to adopt you. And if that doesn't humble you, I don't know what will, because we were lost and dead in our sins. We were without hope unless God had mercy on us. So think about it. You who believe, you who trust in Christ, it's because of God's electing love on you. That should humble you. And just all thanksgiving. God Almighty is the God of humbling election. As you look over your life, what do you see? Is it just pain? Is it just hardship? Or can you see more? As Jacob was saying, God was my shepherd all of my days. He was my angel who rescued me and redeemed me from all evil. He is El Shaddai. He's my God. Promises to bless me. When it comes time to die, as you reflect, don't think on the sins, don't think on the failures, don't think on regrets. Think of the faithfulness of El Shaddai, God Almighty, who would send his son to die for you. Count on God's mercy for your past mistakes, on God's love for your present needs, and on God's sovereignty for your future. And as the Heidelberg Catechism says, what is your only comfort in life and death? That I'm not my own, but I belong both body and soul to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has paid for my sins with his precious blood. He has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He works all things for my salvation. As you look back over your life, even the days of hardship and evil, look for the providential hand of God Almighty. Through it all, may you recognize his gracious blessing, his welcoming adoption, and his humbling election. Let's pray. Father, help us to see. Help us to believe. Help us to understand. Lord, maybe there's one here for the first time where some of these things are making sense, where even today you're invading their heart and their soul and they're seeing that ladder to heaven, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help them to believe, help them to see and run to Jesus. For us who've been walking with him, help us to focus on the great blessings that we have, that you've loved us with an eternal love, that you've made yourself known to us and promised us a hope in the future, that we are counted as sons, full heirs, along with the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to believe. Help us to walk in that joy. Help us to walk in this world that you've made, knowing the best is yet to come. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.